will be one scripture. Say amen when y'all are there, or amen when you see it on the screen. Simple scripture. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Father, I ask that you would just bless this word on today, Father. Father, first and foremost, God, I just pray right now that you would minister to me through this word, God, and that I would decrease, God. Father, I need your power to come down, God, and just to take complete control. Pray for the people right now as well, God. Open up their hearts. In Jesus' name. Guys, without further ado, y'all ready to get started? I come here on a mission. I come with a purpose. God has given me a purpose today. And I stated that purpose earlier. Number one, to give him praise. Number two, to make the devil mad. Mad. Because when we praise God, we already know, you know, the heavens rejoice. But the devil don't like it. But there's something else that the devil don't like. The devil does not like when you figure out who you really are. The devil don't like that. He don't like that. My message today is to tell you exactly who you are. That's our message today. I know you're saying, well, pastor showed us the truth in the Bible, that we are the true people of God. Amen. That's who you are. But with that comes something else. Sometimes we forget that we are overcomers. And the title of today's message is Overcomer. Y'all ready? My brother James said something Tuesday. And he said, you know what? Sometimes the people don't need a new word. Boy, when you said that, you hit it right on the head. Because I was going to come up here and say that. You just beat me to it. But the thing is, sometimes we don't need a new word. We need a reminder. We need a refresher. Just to remind us who we are. Because sometimes life beat us down and we forget. And somebody needs to just step in front of you and tell you, you know what, Misha, you're an overcomer. Deacon Hill, you're an overcomer. Pick your head up. You're an overcomer. So that's what we're talking about today. So if I get a little passionate, y'all forgive me. Y'all forgive me. Because this message is real passionate to me. Because I'm going to tell you why. Especially in our community. I look at my people every day. Every day. And they walk by not knowing who they are. They're walking with their heads down thinking that they're less than. They're walking around with their pants sagging way down here because they don't know who they are. And it saddens me. I got a lot to cover, y'all. Y'all can't be taking me out my notes like that. But let's go ahead and get started. Put that verse back up there. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. And they overcame him. Who are they? Who are they? First, let me tell you who the Bible is referring to first. The first thing they're referring to early in the verse, they mentioned there's a war in heaven. Y'all heard about the war, right? Between who? They being the archangel. Give me a name. Michael, I heard it. And his angels. Against who? Satan. That they reference as the dragon. So there's a war going on in heaven. It kicks Satan out. Today we're not going to focus on the actual war. What I want to focus on this morning is the fact of how they overcame. Because the way they overcame the devil is the same way that we can overcome him as well. We're going to have two main points this morning. We're going to have quite a few sub-points. We're going to have two main points. The first point is overcoming the devil or Satan. Point number two is overcoming the world. That's the two main points. So getting started in this book, guys, we reference that there's a war. My brother did something else. It's just amazing how God works, huh, Melville? All of the brothers that got up here when Pastor was going, the word just lined up just like that. You did an intro for me and you didn't even know. My brother came up here and he gave an awesome message about the beloved apostle, John, who wrote this book. And he broke it down like never before. And I appreciate you. So you know what that means? I ain't doing it. He already covered it. We know that the Apostle John wrote Revelations, right? If y'all need to know anything else, because I got a lot to cover. Y'all need to know anything else, ask him. But we know that John wrote the book of Revelations, right? He also is the author of John, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. I want to look at some scriptures real quick with you guys. In 1 John chapter 5, this is the same penmanship. John, look what he says right here. Because we're going to compare a couple of things this morning, all right? For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. But who's the overcomer, John? Look at verse 5. He says, who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believe that Jesus is the Son of God. So you know what John is saying here? So if you came and you know that you gave your life to Christ, you following Christ, you're following his commandments. John is saying you need to know that you are an overcomer. You're an overcomer. He is definitively saying that you're an overcomer, right? But John says something in the book of Revelations that he wrote after God gave him the revelation when he spoke to the churches. We know when God speaks to all the churches, right? I want to read something to y'all. To me, it almost sounds like a contradiction, but I want y'all look close. Go to Revelations 2. Bear with me. Because how many churches they had that God spoke to? I can't hear you. Seven. Which is the perfect number, which means they spoke to all the churches. Every church. Including the church of who? Philadelphia. This church. So look at Revelations 2:7. After pretty much God told them what he had to tell them. I want y'all to pay attention real quick. We're going to run through this real fast. 2:7, he said, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches. To him who overcome will I give to eat of the tree of life. All right? That was to the church of Ephesus, to the church of Smyrna. Look at 2:11. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the Lord. He that overcome shall not be hurt of the second death. Look at 2:17. Pergamum, to the church of Pergamos. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give. We're going to read them all. Thyatira, 2:26. And he that overcometh and keepeth my words. Oh, that's the wrong one. 2:26. Yeah, that's right. And he that overcometh and keepeth my words unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. Also, to the church of Sardis, 3:5. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white. To the church of Philadelphia, 3:12. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. And finally, 3:21. To the church of Laodicea, to him that overcome it will I grant to sit with me in my throne. Why did I read all that? You got to really pay attention. We read in 1 John. 1 John said that you come to Christ. He said you are an overcomer, right? I just read y'all seven scriptures that said what? He who overcomes. And this was to all of the churches. He who overcomes. If you don't really pay attention, you can miss something here. He's in one. To me, it almost seemed like a contradiction. He said, you are an overcomer. But then he coming back and say, he who overcomes. What is the revelation what I'm trying to get at? What John is saying that everybody's in the church is not an overcomer. Or you're not overcoming. It's a choice that we have to overcome. Let me give you an example. Tony Evans said it best. Tony Evans gave an example that I absolutely love. He said, what John is saying right here is like a marriage. You could be married and not be happy, right? But does that make you unmarried? That makes you what? Unhappily married. That's all. It makes you unhappily married. So in this, all he's saying is that your legal status is not lining up with your experience. Listen close. It's the same way when you're a Christian. John is saying that, you know what? You are an overcomer. You can overcome every single thing because why? Because Christ already overcame it. You are an overcomer. You're a Christian. You're a believer. But yet you're a believer, but you live in a defeated life. Does that make you not a Christian? That makes you what? A defeated Christian. It doesn't make you not a Christian. You're just a defeated Christian. And that's what he's saying. We already have the legal status. Legally, put 1 John back up there for me real quick. Legally and contractually, we are overcomers because God said it. Legally and contractually, by the word of God. If we believe in Christ, we are overcomers. But our lifestyle says something different. Our legal status is not lining up with our lifestyle. So we're not living the life of the overcomer. We're not. So we need our legal status, our legal contractual status, to line up with our life to be overcomers. And stop living a defeated life. God, y'all know I like to challenge y'all, right? Y'all know that, right? But I like to encourage y'all. I like to encourage y'all as well. And this is my point for today. To let you know that you're an overcomer. You are. And we overcome these things in the world, guys. But in order to be an overcomer and to conquer these things and overcome, see, we got to first know who our enemy is. We like to point the finger at different people. But if you look at Ephesians 6, clearly tell you who our enemy is. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Know who your enemy is. You can't fight a battle if you don't know who you're fighting. So you being an overcomer, do your research. Do your research. Know how to overcome the enemy. So know who you're overcoming. And I'm kind of like you, Brandon. That was just an introduction. We're going to move to point number one. Overcoming the devil. Y'all ready? They say they overcame him. That word overcome in the Greek is the word nikao. It means to conquer, to overcome, prevail, or get the victory. That's what overcame means, right? There's, you know what word that comes from this word? The word Nike. Bet y'all didn't know that, huh? This is where they get the word Nike from. I don't know if Nike ever admit that, but this is where the word Nike at. We wear the shoes, but we don't be knowing. But this is where that word comes from. But we are not overcomers unless, and we're not conquering anything unless there's something to conquer. You understand what I'm saying? So if there's nothing to conquer, we're not conquerors. So the only thing I want to tell you in that sense, when trials come, rejoice. Amen. Let's just be real. When trials come, rejoice. I know that's hard. It's hard. It's hard to do. But that's something that we have to learn and learn why. Because we already know that we already have the victory already. We know it. So we need to learn to rejoice in our trials. And they say they overcame how? Now we're really about to get into it. They overcame him by the blood. The blood. I love it. By the blood. Let me tell you something about the blood. You know, we say this a lot, and we don't stop to really say, what are we saying? This blood represents the cross. The cross of Calvary is here, what Christ did for us. By him going on that cross and dying for us, shedding his blood for us. That's what this blood means, the cross. Let me tell you something, overcomers. Who say they're an overcomer in here? Remember what 1 John said? You cannot be an overcomer if you don't come to the cross. Because 1 John said that you're an overcomer for those who believe in the Son of God, which means what? You believe in his death, his burial, and his resurrection. So if you don't come to the cross, how can you be overcome? You already overcame. So therefore, you must come to the cross. Let me talk to the unbelievers for a second. Because I'm not going to stand here and believe that everybody in this church is saved right now. That would not be smart on my part. So to the unbelievers and the unsaved, you're not an overcomer. Even when you think you got it all going together right now, the devil is just allowing you to have those things to keep you comfortable. And when it's time to pay up, he's going to say, come on, and it's time to pay up. You're not overcoming. You're not an overcomer unless you come to the cross. And there's some of us out there that's not saved. And we are being overcame. We're dealing with all of the drama and the stress in this world. And we allow it to beat us up. And you don't know how to deal with it. The blood. The blood. That is how you deal with it. All of the drama in this world, guess what? Christ already done defeated all this for you already. You whacking your brains out, don't know what you're doing, thinking about taking your own life when Christ already gave his life for you. All you have to do is just come to the cross and say, God, I've got enough. And by his word, he said, legally, you will become an overcomer. And all those things that you are going through, it's over. It's done with. It's done. But you got to first come to the cross. You have to come to the cross. Without the cross, without the blood, sin shall have dominion over you. It will rule you. I don't care how big and bad and strong you think you are. Sin will let you get to a point before it just destroys you. Because that's how sin is. You enjoy the sin. But you can't see the end of the road. The end of the road is a cliff. And when you get to the end of that road, you just fall off. That's what sin does to you. It has dominion over you. And when sin calls, you come without Christ, without the blood. And it's hard to get out of that. So that's why you need the blood. Gotta come to the cross. And look, I don't want y'all to feel bad. This is still to the overcome, to the unbelievers. I don't want y'all to feel bad. Because there's something that we do here in Philadelphia. Every Sunday, every Tuesday, we always give you an opportunity to get right with God. At the end of the service, we're going to give you that opportunity. And then we're going to have an altar call later on, and you're going to have an opportunity to say, you know what, all of the stress and these trials and everything that I'm going through, God, you deal with it. You deal with it. Because I'm going to tell you this, you only have two options. Yeah, you got two choices. Either you're an overcomer or you've been overcome. It's one out of two. That's it. So y'all going to have an opportunity. To my believers, hey! Y'all good? Y'all want to talk? That's the type of message we have today. We're just talking. Y'all all right with that, huh? Let me talk to my believers for a second. You know what y'all have to do? Recognize the power in the blood. There is still power in the blood of Christ. Sometimes we don't understand that. And let me tell you what we do a lot. I plead the blood, I plead the blood, I plead the blood, like a song. I plead the blood, I plead the blood, I plead the blood, I plead the blood, I plead the blood. Come on. You plead the blood, but you deny the power of it because you don't know what the power of the blood is. What does it mean? I need you to know what that means. I need you to see the power in the blood. We flirt with that like it's some type of hocus pocus or abracadabra thing. I plead the blood. But that's the truth. We need to recognize the power in the blood. When Christ went to that cross and he shed his blood for every single person in here, and he said, Taleo, It is finished. So you know what that means? Everything that we deal with, it's over. It's finished. You have power over that. But yet we still allow those type of things to take dominion over us. Why? Because we deny the power of the blood. Because if you knew the power of the blood, you know what, Christian? You would pick your head up. Even through your trials, you would pick your head up and you would continue moving forward. Don't deny the power of the blood. Let me break something down for you in Colossians. What 2:15. Let me help y'all out. And having spoiled, this is the power of the blood. Let me show you what Christ did when he died and shed his blood for you. Having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Put that in the NLT, because some of y'all are looking like, what? What does that mean? Let me break it down for you. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly before his victory, by his victory over them at the cross. What does that mean, Duck? This simply means that at the cross, he disarmed the enemy. He totally disarmed. He made a mockery out of them in front of everybody. They have no power. Let me ask you something. All right? Listen close. God forbid this happen. But let's just say somebody happened to break in your house, right? And they got a gun to you. They said, get on the ground. What you going to do? You're going to get on the ground. They're going to say, give me what's in your pocket. What you going to do? And they say, get up, put your hands behind the head. What you going to do? Why? Because they got the power, right? But let me ask you this. What would happen if you find out he ain't got no bullets in that gun? What you would do? I ain't pleading the blood. They might be cleaning up blood. Oh, I said that out loud, huh? But be real. If somebody break in your house and they point a gun and you find out that there's no bullets in that gun, it's on and popping, right? He disarmed the enemy. All they're doing is shooting blanks at you. They have no power. They holding you hostage with an empty gun. And you are under their power. Why? It's because of the deception of the enemy's power. It's not his power. It is the deception of the enemy's power. He is deceiving you, Christian. He's deceiving you. That's all he's doing. He's already disarmed. So if you know that he's disarmed, why y'all letting him, why y'all giving him so much power? Then I said, we talking? Let's talk. Come here. Why are you giving him so much power, overcomers? Because that's what we're talking about. I'm going to keep referencing that because I want that to instill in you to know that you're an overcomer and that you can overcome all things through Christ Jesus. So why would you let the deception of the enemy hold you hostage? I'm the only one that would beat somebody up. I know I'm savior. Don't get me wrong, but I ain't no punk. I could say that on the pulpit. I did. Pastor not here. He ain't here. Pastor, I'm just playing. But for real though, it is only the deception. But we gotta know the power. Power in the blood, guys. I don't know if this is making sense to y'all, man. I just want y'all to grasp that idea. Cause so many times, and y'all be right, yeah, you know, I just think that we give the devil just too much. Too much. Every single time something happens, you do this. The devil busy. Where I'm from, I read a Bible that says, my God don't sleep. He don't sleep. So I don't care how busy the devil is. My God is still there. And he already gave me power. So come on, man. It's power. It starts with recognizing the power in the blood, the cross. You have to recognize that. Blood, power in the blood. Even your own blood is powerful. You know how blood works? Man, I had to do a little research. The component, the genetic makeup of blood contains what? Y'all know? Because I didn't know all that stuff. I just knew blood cells. That's all I knew. But it contains red blood cells, white blood cells, platelets, plasma. Is that right? All these things is the genetic makeup of blood. And all these things work together for your good. It keeps you healthy. It keeps you alive. That's your blood. So if this is the composition of your blood, you don't think Christ have a composition in his blood? Christ have a composition in his blood too. Just like he got white blood cells, red blood cells, platelets, plasma. Let me tell you, let's go over the composition of Christ's blood. Roll with me, sound boot. First thing, Christ's blood is made up of salvation. That's the first thing. 1 Peter 1:18-19. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and spot, without spot. The first thing is salvation. The next composition is access to God. You're like, well, what do you mean? I'm going to show you what I mean. Hebrews 10:19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by what? By the blood of Jesus. Remember when he died? What happened after that? The veil was torn, giving us access where we could walk boldly before the throne of God and ask for what we want to ask for. We don't need a high priest because Jesus is our high priest now. The next composition is protection. There's protection in the blood. That's the easy one. Exodus 12:12. We don't even have to read it. That's the Passover. For those who don't know the Passover, look what it says. For I will pass through the land. Remember when they had to smear the blood? And he said, that night I'm going to smite all of the firstborn. But when I pass over and I see the blood, go to the next verse. When I see the blood, what's going to happen? I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. There's protection in the blood. All this is making up something. There's forgiveness in the blood. Ephesians 1:7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. There's cleansing in the blood. Hebrews 9:14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge. That word purge means cleanse. Purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Sanctification. Man, y'all knew that the genetic composition of Christ's blood was all of this? You know why? Because you denied the power of. When you plead in the blood, I'm going to tell you what you're pleading. Hebrews 13:12. Wherefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctification, the people with his blood suffered without the gate. Let's look at the last one. The last one, there's peace. Colossians 1:20-21. And having peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile, we're not even going to talk about reconciliation, all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or in heaven. So what exactly does it mean when we plead the blood? We say the blood. This is the genetic makeup of Christ's blood. That's why, to my believers, that's why I tell you, when you say things like that, don't be cliche. Don't be cliche with it. Don't say, oh, I plead the blood on this court right now. And you don't know what you're saying. You're saying it because you heard somebody else saying. When you say, I plead the blood, you know what you're pleading? His genetic makeup. You're saying there's salvation in the blood. There's access to the blood. There's protection in the blood. There's forgiveness in the blood. There's cleansing in the blood. There's sanctification in the blood. There's peace in the blood. All these things is what you're saying when you say, I plead the blood. And the blood, that's the cross. And it's a weapon. See, when we know the power of this blood, the cross, when we know that power, remember we mentioned something about the legal status, our legal status with Christ as an overcomer? When we plead this and we know what we're talking about, our legal status lines up with our life. It lines up with our life. And there's a reason why we need to know this. And there's a reason why our legal status needs to line up in our life. Because there's look at verse 10, I believe it is, in Revelations that we're looking at. They call the devil something here that we're familiar with. And I heard a loud voice saying in the heavens, "Now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of Christ. For what they call him? The accuser of our brethren is cast down." The accuser. But the thing about it, keep reading. This kind of blew me away. "Which accused them before our God day and night." That blew me away. So you know what this means? This means that the devil is gone before God, accusing you for every sin that you've done. He did it to Job, right? Why he wouldn't do it to you? You know what this means? Every little sin that you do, he's going to God. So my question to you today, are you giving the devil any ammunition to take to God? Because you know why? Every time you sin, guess what the devil do? Every time you sin, God, look, that's your child right there. You see what he did? Give him to me. Every time you sin, they say he accuses you day and night. Every time you sin, he is before God, showing God, pointing God your sin. Point it out. Give them to me. Give her to me. God, allow me to touch them. And you wonder why your finances are the way they are. Let me touch them. You know the best thing for a Christian to do when we sin? Because let me tell you something. I do understand that our sin is covered by the blood. But does that give us a reason and a right to just go out and sin like that? Paul said it best. Paul said, God forbid. God, no, that does not give us a reason. However, we're not perfect. I'm not telling you you're going to live a total sinless life. But I want you to listen to this and listen to it close. Christian, believers, the best thing that you can do when you sin is get to God before the devil do. That is the best thing that you can do. Why? Get to him and repent. Get to God and repent. Because when the devil come, hey God, look what they did. That's the same. And you know what he's going to say? He already came already. He already repented for that. I forgave him. Get out of here, boy. You know what I'm saying? There's a difference. Get to God first. But you got to know. Got to know your sin. They overcame him. Go back to my verse. They overcame him by the blood. And what else? 11, y'all. And by the word of their testimony. Before I say that, you know something that I like? Just as a side note, while I'm preparing for this next one, you notice it says, by the blood of the Lamb. Y'all caught that? Why did it just didn't say by the blood of Christ? They could have just said by the blood of Christ. But you know, that's why we pretty much preach out of the King James Version over here at Philly. And this is one of the reasons why I love the King James Version, because they could have just said by the blood of Christ, but it said by the blood of the Lamb, because that's a symbolism of what? Of God's substitutionary atonement for what he done for us. So they represent him as the Lamb right there, so that we can know and recognize that he went to the cross for us. If you just read over that and pass by, you wouldn't catch that. Because they could have easily said we overcome by the blood of Christ, because it's still true. But it said we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Testimony. That's our next point. The word of your testimony. If you came to Christ, let me explain something to you. You have a testimony. You have a testimony. Some people think, oh, well, nothing really happened to me. You have a testimony. You do. One of the biggest problems is that you either don't know how to give your testimony, or you just don't. Neither one is good. And we're going to talk about that. The definition of testimony. Let's talk. evidence or proof provided by the existence or appearance of something. This can also be a record or a report. Why did I look? And this is according to dictionary.com. You know why I put that up there? Because your testimony is the evidence or proof of the very existence of God. That's your testimony. But I want to talk about this for a little while this morning, because I want you to know how to give a testimony. Because you realize that your testimony is a weapon? Y'all know that? There's a few testimonies in a book that I happen to like that we know. We just read about one, the blind man that was healed, remember? Didn't we talk about that? When they tried to convince him that Jesus was a sinner, and what he said, if he is a sinner, I know not. All I know is that I was blind, but now I see. He testified. Another one is Stephen in the book of Acts. He went before them and he gave a testimony. You know my favorite testimony in the Bible? It's Paul. When he stood before King Agrippa. And this is good for the new Christians. I would implore you to take some time and study Paul. Because when all the other apostles walked with Jesus, Paul did not. Paul didn't have all that knowledge that the other apostles did. So what did Paul rely on heavily in his ministry? His testimony. If you go in the book of Acts, after Paul's conversion, Paul stood before kings like King Agrippa. And he said, wherefore, King Agrippa, when I rode on my way to that road of Damascus, I saw a light that knocked me off my horse. It was his testimony. And after he said that testimony, I love Paul. That's my dog. After he said that, King Agrippa said, persuadest thou me, Paul, to be a Christian? And he said, not just you, King Agrippa, but all that hear from me. And the thing about it is this. Paul gave his testimony to Agrippa. He gave his testimony to Agrippa. But guess what? We don't know if King Agrippa got saved, but the other thing that we don't know, all the people that was around him that was listening. We don't know how many people got saved from that testimony that Paul gave. We don't. But we need to learn how to use our testimony. Our testimony help us to overcome, because the Bible just said we overcome by the word of our testimony is a weapon. It's a weapon. The same burglar that just broke into your house, this time you got the gun. You got the gun this time, right? Fully loaded gun. He break in your house. You got it right here. But you throw it at him. What good is that? What good is that? That's the same thing with your testimony. You got your testimony as a weapon. However, you're not using it. You're not using it, guys. And to me, I believe that's a selfish act. Let's just talk. I believe that is a selfish act to withhold your testimony. Because let me tell you something in the church. I'm going to tell you something in the church. One of the things that I believe that's a hindrance at times, especially for new believers, is for new believers to come in and to see the people of God, the ministers, the deacons, the pastors, and to see us that seem to have it together, but we never say where we came from. We never say what we went through to get here. We never say it. I personally believe that it's a hindrance. Why is it a hindrance? Because the young Christian looking at you thinking, man, they got it all together. I got to live a perfect life. I got to live a perfect life. So when they fall, when they sin, they beat themselves up. They beat themselves up. Because they say, man, such and such, minister such and such, I know he never went through nothing like that. I can't, woe is me, I can't believe I did this. Once again, overcomer, pick your head up. Ministers, pastors, we all go through. We all go through. We've been somewhere. Let me tell you something, we've been somewhere. And I want to encourage all of the leaders in this church The ones that we know that we're doing okay. We are doing okay in Christ. We are. This is what I'm going to encourage you to do. Let's not be no perfect patties. All right? Let's not be no perfect patties. Let's share our testimony. Because where we are now is not where we used to be now. It's not where we used to be, because I can tell you. Because the thing is this, because if somebody looking at you, right, and the people that know you, just to back up a little bit, the people that know you and they see where you came from and where you are now, there's no difference. You need to check your Christian card first and foremost. Because there should be a clear, substantial difference before Christ and after Christ. There should be a difference. But to our leaders, don't get so caught up in I am good now and don't want to share. Because you don't know what the next man is going through. You don't know that. How is your testimony a weapon? Your testimony can help somebody overcome the same thing that you already overcame. But that person will never know if you don't open your mouth. And I'm not talking about just here in church, just so you can show the people. In the street, I just heard it. You tell your testimony to the unsaved, especially to the ones who know you. There's no better way to say people to tell your testimony to than your family. Because there's nobody that know you better. There's nobody that know you better than your family. Because you know why? You still that little boy that been down the way just doing all kind of stuff. But then they happen to see something's different about them. Something's different. But when you share your testimony, and they may say, you know what? My dog, I remember me and you used to do the same thing. Look at you now. Look at you now. Share your testimony. Leaders, not just leaders. Everybody. Everybody. Don't be afraid to share your testimony. But know how to give a testimony. This might sound simple, but know how to give a testimony, all right? Let's just talk. You know what the Bible doesn't say? The Bible doesn't say they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and their testimony. Y'all caught that? Put that scripture back up. 12:11. And they overcame him, not by the blood of the Lamb and their testimony. Y'all read it for me. And by the what? Stop. By the word of their testimony. That doesn't just mean speak. You know what that word means? Which my brother hit Tuesday. It means logos. Logos. If you go to John 1:1, that same word means logos. In the beginning, the word. God was the word. The word was with God, and God was what? Hygo? Y'all know it? So this is the point I'm getting at. If in John 1:1, saying the word was God, and here we're saying that we overcome by the word of our testimony. But our testimony has no word in it. It has no God in it. So is that a proper testimony? I'm going to give you an example. I remember back in the day, I was in the streets, man. I made so much money selling drugs, and I did this, and I did that, and I did this. Man, I was in the club all night long, and then one day I went to church, and I got saved, and man, I'm good. Is that a testimony? You know what? Your testimony can actually help or hinder somebody. A testimony like that with no word, with no God, would do nothing but hinder. Because number one, somebody's going to look at you and be like, man, it sounds like he missed those days. That's the first thing. The second thing is you don't know that person's struggling with the same exact thing that you're talking about. And you're going back in the day and you're glorifying every single thing that you said. And then you mention Christ right here and that's it. So are you being a help or a hindrance? Know how to use your weapon. Know how to use your testimony. Your testimony needs to have more Christ and less you. More Christ. They used to have a commercial back in the day. All right? Well, we're going to try something today. Now, I don't need y'all to get churchy on me right now, all right? They used to have this commercial. We're going to see who remember this. That they used to have people arguing all the time. One side would say, less filling. The other side would say, y'all act like y'all didn't want to say that. I just told y'all don't get churchy with me. We know it's a beer commercial, but I'm just using it as an example. Less filling, tastes great. Your testimony should be more Christ, less you. More Christ, less you. Let's try this side. More Christ, less you. One more time.
More Christ, bless you.
That is your testimony. That's your testimony. If your testimony all about you and the things that you did, and then you mentioned Christ that long, that's not your testimony. And frankly, I don't want to hear it. Say that aloud again. But I'm just being real. The reason being is because you can hurt somebody, guys. You really can. I want y'all to know the power, just like we said, the power of the blood. Know the power of your testimony. Because we use this as a weapon for God against the devil. Because this testimony that we have, you know, I'm saying my testimony, and this person is struggling with the same thing, and this person thinking that there is no hope. There's absolutely no hope. And then they look at me, and I just gave the testimony, and I tell them what Christ did for me and how Christ changed my life. Not the things about how I dwelled in the same thing they're struggling with, but how Christ changed my life. When I was in that, it gives them hope. Your testimony gives people hope. And that's what the testimony is for. And that's the reason, guys. Part of being an overcomer is knowing how to use the weapons that God provides you with. Because you can be and overcome all you want. If you don't know how to use the weapons that God gives you, it's null and void. So we gotta know and recognize who the true overcomer is. I'm gonna keep referencing that because God already did it. God already did it. And when we learn all these things, that's when we know that our legal status line up with our lifestyle. But our legal status will never line up with our lifestyle until we get it right. We got to know the power. We got to know all these things. And we got to know where the power comes from. And it comes from Christ. But you got to know Christ. Because if you don't know Christ, you don't know the power. So you got to know him. Because you know your lifestyle that we're talking about? Because I'm going to tell you something else about your testimony. Your lifestyle, guys, listen close. You know your lifestyle is your testimony as well, right? You're testifying every single day. Every day. When y'all walk through these doors and you get in that car, you're testifying. But what is your testimony saying? Think about it. You're in here, hallelujah, hallelujah. You're testifying one thing, but then when you get in the car, you're cussing and fussing in front of the children. What are you testifying? Remember, our families, our lost families, in most cases, they're not reading the Bible. You are their Bible. You are their Bible. And you need to show them that you're an overcomer. I believe that your actions and your lifestyle, I'm going to say this slow, I believe that your actions is an indication of your identification with the true overcomer, which is Christ. Y'all caught that? I'm going to say it again. Your actions is an indication of your identification of the true overcomer. What exactly does that mean? How you identify with Christ is how you're going to act. If you identify with Christ as being the true comer, the overcomer, and the Lord of your life, your actions will show. But if you identify as Christ as just being somebody, then you're going to live any kind of way. And if you don't know that he is the lion of the tribe of Judah, bold. So when trouble comes, guess what you're going to do? You're going to hang your head down. But those of us that identify with Christ as an overcomer, when we get trials, we know that Christ lives in us. So if he is bold as a lion, that equates to me being as bold as a lion. Because that's how I identify as Christ. I see him that way. So I'm just saying, guys. Those type of things, knowing those power, help us to overcome the devil. All right? But it also help us to overcome the world. That's our second point, overcoming the world. The first thing we need to know about that is this. Overcoming the world and overcoming the Satan. You know the world and Satan is one of the same, right? Think about it. It's one of the same. Because most of the things that we go through in the world is instigated by Satan and his little minions anyway. But I want to show you something in the next verse, Revelation 12:12. This is after he was defeated in the heavens, right? Pay very close attention. Therefore, rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. They're rejoicing because they're defeated. But look what's after that. Woe. When you see a woe, that means woe. Hold on. Because this is something you really need to take heed to. Woe to the inhabitants of the what? To the earth and of the sea. For the devil is come down unto you having great what? Wrath. Because he knew it that he had but a short time. So the devil comes down here to create havoc in this world and in your life. But the problem is we are overcomers and we can overcome everything that he got. But until that we know that we are overcomers and who we are, we can't overcome the world and we can't overcome the devil. So we need all our overcomers to rise up, guys. You need to know this. Look at 1 John 2:16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of this world. It's of this world. These are the things that we have to overcome as overcomers. You know, one of the greatest tricks that the enemy plays is he tries to stop you from knowing who you really are. That's what he does. He tries to stop you from knowing who you really are. You know why? He wants you to be defeated. He wants you to think that you are less than. He wants you to think that everything that he throw at you is real. He wants you to think that he has the power. He wants you to think that you're this small. That's what he does. Proverbs 23:7 says what? For as a man thinking in his heart, so is he. So of course he's going to throw all these things at you. He's going to whisper things in your ear. You're nothing. You're nothing. Put the gun to your head. Yes, he's going to do those type of things. Why? Because you don't know who you are. The most powerful thing to overcome it and know it in this world is to know exactly who you are. You have to know who you are. Number one, you know that you're more than a conqueror through Christ. Now, Hebrews, we just found out something special. We just found out that we're the people of the book. That's special. Know who you are. And know that you are an overcomer. Know what it means to be an overcomer. Before we walk out these doors, I want every single body in here to know exactly what it means to be an overcomer and know that that is you. Everybody, know that you're an overcomer and know what it means to overcome. You know the definition of overcomer? To overpower, to overwhelm in body or mind. I'm going to add and spiritually. I added that part. But that's what it means to be an overcomer. You will have tribulations in this world. Let's not sugarcoat it. You will have tribulations in this world. But that doesn't mean that you don't overcome. John 16, 33. These things I have spoken unto you. This Christ talking, that in me you have peace. That's the first thing that you need to know. In Christ, that's the blood, remember? Part of his DNA. We have peace. But look what he says in this world. In the world, you shall, not might, you shall, not maybe, you shall have tribulation. You shall have tribulations. But be of good cheer. This is what I was talking about earlier. Be of good cheer. This is the thing that I'm telling you that we need to learn. This is one of the hardest things, is to learn how to be cheerful in tribulation. If you are joyous during your trials, boy, the devil be mad, boy. Think about it. Because the devil came but to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. That's not just physically. That's mentally. He want to tear you down. That's bodily. He wants to tear you down any possible way that he can. But if you take, you gird up your loins and say, you know what? I know I'm going through. It's all good. But look what he said. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. God already overcome. So you know what that means for you, Christian? It's already prescripted. I don't care what you're going through. It's already prescripted. You already won. You already won. It may not feel like it, but you already won. I used to be a big wrestling fan. Big wrestling fan. And I never could understand how somebody get beat to a pulp. Boom, boom. Y'all start cheering. Boom, they're getting beat. They get beat. Boom, boom. And all of a sudden. And then they beat them. And then win the fight. Why? No matter how bad they get beat, we know the wrestler. In case y'all didn't know, wrestling is not real. All right? It's not real. It's not real. I know I ruined it for some of y'all, but it's not real. But the point that I'm getting at, let me talk to this side. The point that I'm getting at, no matter how bad The Rock, Hulk Hogan, or whoever get beat down, it's already prescripted. Before he walk in the ring, he already know he gonna win. It's prescripted. It is the same thing with you, Christian. When you're going through your trials, be of good cheer because it's prescriptive. You already know that you got the victory. You know this. So you take it in stride. Yeah. Yeah, one thing about the ransom. I heard they get paid more for bleeding. So, hey, you might take a little blood, but your reward going to be greater. Your reward will be greater. So handle it. Handle it, guys. First thing, this is something I like to do. How many are my Facebook friends? Facebook friends in here? Facebook friends? Look, my people. Something I do every now and then on Facebook when I get ready to teach is I may pose a question on them that actually helped me study. Because preaching and teaching and giving out a whole lot of information is one thing. You can have all the information that you can handle, but information without revelation is null and void. So I like to deal with real life things because we can talk all we want, but one of my jobs and my goal is to show you how to apply it. And one of the questions that I posed on Facebook as I was studying, I want to know some of the real life situations that people are going through that they overcame, some have not overcame. And we're going to talk about a couple of them. That's okay with y'all? Because this is real life. Remember what we're talking about, overcoming the world. The world is a mean and ugly place sometimes, especially for the believer, especially for us. So I'm not going to sit up here and do like I said earlier. Oh, you plead the blood, you plead the blood, you plead the blood, and that's it, go home. No. The reality of it is some of these things are hard. They're hard. And we're going to talk about some of them. The very first thing that we know automatically off the top, let's just deal with it, that you need to overcome in this world is sin. That's the first thing. Sin shall not have dominion over you. You need to be able to overcome sin. This is the thing about sin in this world. You got to first be able to identify sin. All right? That sounds simple. But the world that we live in now, they begin to call sin right, basically. Things that we call sin, they call it good. They call it alternative thinking, alternative whatever. As Christians, we need to be able to identify it and not conform to what they're saying. That's why the Bible says, we don't conform to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of what? Our minds. So we need to learn how to first and foremost identify sin. All right? So that's the first thing that we need to overcome. How do we overcome sin? Number one, prayer. You got to be prayed up. You come to Christ first and you stay prayed up. You have to do that. Prayer. Stay in this word. And also fellowship. That's the first thing. I just want to get that out of the way. That's the first thing. I'm going to tell you one of the hardest things now. I told you the first. I'm going to tell you one of the hardest to overcome in this world. What y'all think one of the hardest things to overcome in this world? Anybody want to yell it out? Take a guess. Sin. I said sin. I heard temptation. Yourself. Ourselves. We are the hardest people to overcome. I'm going to explain. This right here is a dangerous thing. It's a dangerous thing. We need to learn how to overcome ourselves and get rid of our stinky thinking. If you don't believe you're worth nothing, why should I? Let's just be real. We're talking. If you don't believe that you are worth something, why should anybody else in this world believe it? You need to learn how to overcome yourself and overcome your mind. Overcome what you think people perceive of you. Know that you are more than a conqueror. I don't care what anybody say. Don't hang your head down talking about, woe is me, woe is me. No. You overcome that. The poverty mentality. Let me talk to y'all for a second. You got to overcome this poverty mentality. Always thinking that I have to have a handout. I have to have this handout. I can't get over unless I get over the next man or unless somebody give me something. Can I talk to y'all for a second? Until you overcome that, this right here, what we just said, so as a man thinketh, so is he. So we have to overcome our minds. Where does it start? In our children. Our children. The things that we feed our children in their mind is what we instill in them is what they are destined to be. Some of us are setting our children up for failure because we pour junk into them. You're not going to be nothing because I ain't nothing. And even when you don't say it, your lifestyle may show it. Know that you're more than a conqueror so your child can see, man, daddy going through, but you know what? Daddy's still happy. He doing this and he providing. He doing everything he can. He's still loving mama. He ain't making all that fussing and cussing with her. And he's still going to church. Your child looking at children, stand up for a second. 17 and under, stand up for a second with me. Let me explain something to y'all. Let me explain it. Every single one of y'all are more than a conqueror. You are an overcomer. I don't care who tells you what. I don't care what they tell you. You are an overcomer. I don't care what mama and daddy is. You are an overcomer. I don't care what mama and daddy tell you. You are an overcomer. I don't care what the teacher tell you. You are an overcomer. I don't care the status of your household right now. I don't care. But what I do know, you are an overcomer. They may tell you, you're not going to be nothing. You're not going to graduate. Mama didn't graduate. Daddy didn't graduate. That is a lie from the devil. It's a lie from the devil. You an overcomer, boy. I know your daddy. You're an overcomer. We overcome this world. Parents, look at them children. Speak life. You speak life into them kids. It's starting now. That's why we have a generation killing a generation right now. Pants way down here. Let me talk to you. Pants way down to the knees. Why? Because we are some punk parents. I said it again. We need to speak life to every single one of our babies and let them know that it could be whatever y'all want. Y'all believe that? Children, y'all believe that? Y'all believe y'all could do whatever y'all want to do? Y'all believe that? Through Christ, you are more than a conqueror. I need y'all to believe that. Say, I, children, I am an overcomer. Now, this time y'all say it like y'all mean it. I am an overcomer. Thank you. Y'all can sit down. We got to know, guys, where it starts. And listen, parents, just because you're not there, that's okay. It's not how you start. It's how you finish. And guess what? Even until your deathbed, that's not the end. It's not the end, because if you got children, your children are going to live on. So you instill what you know into your children. So I'm just telling you, guys, feed into your children. Speak life. Speak life into your children. Man. We're dealing with some real stuff, man. And I want y'all to know that. Something else that we overcome. I'm going to take my time with this one. Overcoming addictions. When we hear the word addictions, you know the first thing y'all thought about? Drugs and alcohol. That's the first thing y'all thought about. I'm lying? How many of y'all thought about that? Drugs and alcohol. You got to understand that addictions go way further than that. Way, way further than that. It's not just drugs and alcohol. Yes, drugs and alcohol can be an addiction, but it's not just that. Look at the definition of the word addiction, first of all. Put the definition up there. The definition is this: the state of being enslaved to a habit or practice or to something that is psychologically or physically habit-forming. Keywords: enslaved, habit. It doesn't have to be, you don't have to just be enslaved to drugs and alcohol. Fishing can be an addiction. Let's just be real. Something as simple as fishing can be an addiction. If all you wake up to do is fish and not spend time with children, family, or anybody else, that can be an addiction. Let's talk about some of the addictions. Y'all want to talk about some of them? And we're not going to talk about the obvious. We mentioned the drugs and the alcohol. Oh, I was supposed to go on this side for this first point. I ain't looking. One thing that can be an addiction: your phone, social media, your phone. Think about it. How do you know it's an addiction? Oh, man, y'all just put all of them up, huh? I mean, really. No element of surprise or nothing? I mean, take them all, take them all, take them all off. Take them all, take them all. Your phone. And you say, oh, no, I'm not addicted to my phone. I'm not addicted to my phone. This is how you monitor that. This is how you judge that. Number one, if you're not addicted to your phone and social media, turn it off for 48 hours. 48 hours, no iPad, no phone, no social media, no nothing. For 48 hours, don't touch it. Can you do it? Can you do it? And if you can't, well, no, I just want to see if such and such call me. No. If you are the Maria Placer of Facebook, you're addicted. You're addicted. It's an addiction. How do you weigh that? You look at the time on from Monday through Sunday, 7 days. Catch this. If you may not know how much time you spend, but your spouse does. Your kids do. I guarantee you. Monday through Sunday, I want everybody to do this. If you don't do it, let your spouse know. I ain't going to say that because that's going to cause trouble in the house. But for real, compare how many hours total that you spend like this compared to what your spouse, with your kids, and in the Word. Which one gonna have more time? And you say, oh, no, 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 no. Time with my family, I spent in 100 hours, I spend 60 hours with my family and only 50 on the phone. The fact of the matter is it shouldn't even be close. Shouldn't even be close at all. So you're not addicted? Try it. 48 hours. That include texting. 48 hours. Come back to me next week. Tell me how that go. All right? Television. Television is something else you could be addicted to. All you want to do is sit down and watch TV. You know every character in every sitcom, every show. You know everything that's going to happen. You know people, first name, last name, mama name. But we ask you, who's the names of characters in the book? You say, Jesus, Mary. And that's it. That's a problem. That's a problem. You can be addicted to television, pornography. This one is dangerous. This is a very dangerous addiction. I know people have lost their families behind being addicted to pornography. And this is a strong addiction. Another one is work. You think you can't be addicted to work? Oh, yeah, you can. Oh, yeah, you can. I could testify to that one. Most people that's addicted to work, that went families, they put a reason behind it, like I did. I was addicted to work, but I had a good reason for being addicted. You know how everybody, when you're addicted to something, you always got an excuse? I got to put this time in. My good reason was because I want to be able to put the time in so I could provide for my family now so I could spend time with them later. So I got to do it while I'm young. It's a good reason, right? That's what it sounds like. But all your family want right now is you. Your family want you. Man of God, we fall into that trap really easy. I've been there myself. That's one of my testimonies. Work, 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 work. Now, my mind was warped because I believe that at the time, you know, hey, get money. But we got to be careful. Don't miss out on what God gave you. Your first ministry is your family. It's your family. Another thing, sex. And that's all I got to say about that. We ain't going to talk about that. But the thing about it, you can be. Can't be addicted. Gambling, casino, lotto, bingo. Scratch offs. All those things. If you go to the store and you go into the store to buy a gallon of milk and you leave with a scratch off, and the next day you're going to get something else and you leave with a scratch off, I'm just saying. We look at certain things and say, that ain't no big thing. It's no big thing. Add up them dollars. Add up them dollars. How do you think the lotto and all these things are so high? All the money that we're pumping into it. Now they got stuff, I think you could buy these scratch-offs that cost more than a dollar. All right. Let's run through these. Video games can be an addiction. Boy, I got quiet, yeah. It got quiet. Kids, grown-ups. I know grown-ups. We got grown-ups that's addicted to video games. Once again, if you're not addicted, put it in the closet. Put it in the closet for a week, and let's see what happens. Shopping. Ladies. Addicted to shopping. That's an addiction. If you come back home, and you got to tear off a tag and put it way behind the closet, you got a problem. I had to get it because it was on sale, so I saved some money. No, you ain't saved no money. Saving money is not buying it. So that's how you save money. Don't buy it. You know the last one I got on here? I think it's so funny, but is it true? Lying. Lying can be an addiction, whether you realize it or not. Lying can be an addiction because some folks just lie for no apparent reason. My dog, let me tell you, man, I went up the street, man, this and that. Man, come on, man. Man, I went to Rockefeller, I caught a fish that big. Say, my boy, I saw the fish you caught. You put it on Facebook. It was that big. You know what I'm saying? You're lying for no reason. That can be an addiction, guys. Social media, television, pornography, work, sex, gambling, all these things. We laughing, having fun, yeah, yo. But this is stuff, this is some serious things, yeah. It's serious. Because all of these things, remember it said enslaved. If you are enslaved to something, that means you're losing out on something else. You're spending all your time here. Where's your wife, man of God? Oh, y'all gonna get quiet on me now. Your wife trying to pull you off of this. Where's your wife? When you're enslaved to work, pornography, television, social media, where's your wife? Let's just be real. Can I say this? Where's your wife? When your wife feeling lonely because this is what you're enslaved to. Think about that. Reverse that. Reverse that. Spend time. Get off of this. And I'm going to tell you, from every time, from what I hear, I'm no psychiatrist or what you call that? Shirley, help me out. What's the word I'm looking for? A what? Counselor. I'm not a counselor. I'm not a counselor, but from what I hear, the first step is what? Admitting you got a problem. Stop making excuses. And I want to tell you, all those that come to Philadelphia, man, we're a blessed church. We have a ministry that we just started specifically for stuff like this, for all of the addictions that we deal with. And it's called the Fire Ministry. Free Indeed Recovery Experience. And all of this still play into the part of what we're talking about of overcoming the world. Because one thing, I spoke to Miss Shirley for a while about this. One thing that I know that they're going to use, they're going to be using their testimony. Because some of the counselors are people who went through some of these things that you're going to be hearing about. They went through this. So they're going to be sharing their testimony, helping people to overcome what they already overcame. So number one, if you have any type of addiction, addiction is anything that enslaves you, that's conquering you right now. And if you feel like the deception of the enemy is too strong for you, get with Miss Shirley. I think Miss Kim Lockett is another one. And find out about this ministry. I believe they're kicking it off July 6th. I think the first Thursday. July what? July 6th. You need to see these ladies and be a part of this ministry. Don't be shamed. Don't be shamed. We're not here to judge anybody. He whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Let's be free, Christians. Let's be free. Let's move on. Overcoming past relationships. All these things. Overcoming past relationships. Some of us are struggling in our current relationship because we have yet to overcome our past relationships. That's one of the problems. So we got to learn how to overcome our past and our past relationships, guys. I don't know what the situation was. It could have been an abusive relationship. I don't know. But we have to overcome it because your current relationship, your spouse now, your significant other now, is suffering because of your past. Overcomer, you hear me? You listening? Overcomers. That's what you are. Overcome your past. You may be one that's saying, you know what? Why me, God? Every relationship I get into, it ends horribly. We have to overcome that. I got two things for you. For those of you thinking that, number one, Philippians 3:13. Y'all got that for me? This is what I want you to do. If you're thinking that every relationship that I get in, this is what you do. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing that I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto the things which are before, I press forward toward the mark of the high calling of Jesus Christ. What does that mean? I'm not saying that the past don't hurt. I never tell you that. I'm not going to say that you don't learn from your past. I'm not going to tell you that. But what I am going to tell you is that we move forward. We keep our eyes focused on Christ so much so we don't let the past affect us in any kind of way. That bad relationship, you know what? God got something else for me. I'm fixed. I'm focused. I'll keep on moving. Oh, yes, I was in another relationship, but you know what? It hurts, but I'm going to keep moving. I'm moving forward because I'm keeping my eyes on the prize. And I got one other thing for you, too. You're suffering. You're thinking, why me? Why me? Let me tell you something about God. Jeremiah 29:11 in the NLT. Y'all know what that says? Y'all know what that says, right? Jeremiah 29:11. Hey, he got plans for you, baby. And his plans is not to hurt you. It's to prosper you. It is to prosper you. Know that God has a plan for you. Man, as Christians, as overcomers, that's something that we know. We know that all things come together for the good of those who love God. I love God. According to whose purpose? According to his purpose. So we know that he has a purpose with our life. So we trust him. We trust him. And we just keep moving forward. I'm going to tell you another thing that we got to overcome in this world, and this is a tough one. This is a testimony that I gave a while back, and it's the death of a loved one. It's a tough one. I am not here to come before you as I have overcome and I have attained and I reached this point. That would be a lie. But I've told you, the death of a loved one is one of the hardest things to overcome. Let's just be real. But I'm going to tell you this. We still have to hold on to God's promises. It is easier to overcome the death of a loved one if you are in Christ than if you're by yourself. When you're by yourself, you have nothing to hold on to. Tough one. I stood on the same platform. I shared my testimony with y'all. That testimony not only helped some of y'all, but it helped me. That's what a testimony does. It encourages me. Mama, I told y'all, my mom died when I was 16 years old. Remember when I said, for those that were here, when I actually released that, it was only 3 to 4 years ago. So from 16 till, I'm not telling y'all my age, but 3 years ago, you know how long of a burden that was. Do you know that? The fact of the matter is, we have to learn how to release that. Because there's only a certain point that God can use you when you're holding all those things in. It's only a certain point, guys. And I'm going to tell you this. Matthew 5:4 says this. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. You hold on to that scripture. Psalms 34:18. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. He's there with you. A lot of us in here hurting right now. We hold on to his word. Oh, man, we got to get out of here. Anyway, a few little things because we're going to shut it down. Another thing that I want, especially our people, we got to overcome stereotypes. Have to overcome stereotypes, God. This is very big in the Hebrew community, in the black community. We got to learn how to overcome stereotypes. Why? Because the world says what? The world say you're lazy. Let me talk to my people for 1 second before we go. The world say you're lazy. But God says what? God say you are a new creature. You're not lazy. You're a new creature. You're of God. The world says you are less than. But God says you are the head and not the tail. The world says you're good for nothing but for gangbanging and making children. Let me just be real with you. You know what God says? God says you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. The world says you like fried chicken. Well, I like fried chicken. We're going to leave that one alone. I love Mrs. Fried Chicken. We're going to leave that one alone. I'm just messing with y'all. But anyway, some of the things that we need to deal with, guys, to overcome divorce, singleness, barrenness, financial problems, church hurt. That's real. Church hurt is real. Yes, sir. Suicide, sicknesses, all these things. We need to learn how to overcome. The world is a mean and nasty place to us sometimes. Yes, but we need to learn how to gird up our loins, take what the world got, We might get bruised up and keep moving forward. Keep moving forward. One thing that we learned last time when I was up here about the wilderness, we are complaining people. We like to complain. We like to point fingers. We like to do things like that. We need to stop doing that and just handling our business. All right? As I was studying, there was a prophet that was talking to me on TV, and I want to share this clip with y'all. Some of y'all know this prophet. He goes by the name of Rocky Balboa. And I want to show y'all. Y'all thought Rocky wasn't a prophet. We got to go, y'all. So hurry up. Play this for me.
Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. It's a very mean and nasty place. And I don't care how tough you are, it will beat you to your knees and keep you there permanently if you let it. You, me, or nobody is going to hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done. Now, if you know what you're worth, now go out and get what you're worth. But you got to be willing to take the hits and not pointing fingers saying you ain't where you want to be because of him or her or anybody. Cowards do that, and that ain't you.
That ain't you. Stand up. Everybody stand up. A message from the Father to the Son, and we're going to get out of here after this.
I'm always going to love you no matter what. No matter what happens. You're my son. You're my blood. You're the best thing in my life.
Listen close.
But until you start believing in yourself, you ain't going to have a life.
Hallelujah! Know who you are. Know that you are an overcomer. Know that you are more than a conqueror through Christ. Remember, the enemy don't have nothing. He's already defeated. We need to know that. Guys, anything that you are going through, anything that's before you, you are an overcomer. I want to hear everybody here say, I am an overcomer.
I am an overcomer.
One more time. I am an overcomer.
I am an overcomer.
But let me tell you this. We're not going to leave without this. Let me tell you this real quick. Those are who are in Christ Jesus. Like John said in 1 John, we are overcomers. But you, guess what? If you have not accepted Christ in your life, you're not even in the game. You're not in the game. So I want to implore, we got to really get out of here. But I want to tell you, this is the opportunity where you can come to this altar and say, you know what? I may not be an overcomer now, but I will be. Turn that up, because we're going to worship for a few minutes to this song. Turn it up loud. Let's just worship. And if you know, even Christians, you've been living a defeated life, come to this altar and proclaim that I am an overcomer. Right now.
Overcomer,
turn that up.
I'm an overcomer.
By all we want to do is to know who we are.
And by the word.
And know that if you never came and came through the cross, through the blood, you're not even an overcomer yet. But you have an opportunity today to be that overcomer. Let's forget about our past. Forget about the past. Let's just worship.
He rescued me. He delivered me.
You're an overcomer.
And he set me free.
Something I never mentioned.
Ever since I've been changed.
I told the children that it doesn't matter what their parents told them. But now I want to tell the parents, it doesn't matter what your parents told you neither. It doesn't matter what your parents told you when you were coming up. You are an overcomer. Some of us is still holding on to that same baggage and that luggage from what our parents did to us when we were children. And I'm going to tell you a secret. Hurt hurts. And I understand that. But greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And you are an overcomer. And I want you to know that you're an overcomer.
He saved.
He rescued you.
He rescued me.
Just let that play like that. I want y'all to repeat after me.
Well,
say, Father,
me
thank you for saving me. Thank you for rescuing me. Lord, I believe in Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection. I also believe that he's coming back for me. Lord, I decree and declare that I am an overcomer, that I am an overcomer, that I am an overcomer, that I am an overcomer. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. I promise to share my testimony, to give hope to others. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Why y'all let me talk so long, man? Y'all could have waved me down or something. Let me bless y'all so we can get out of here, because we late. I'm sorry. Father, we thank you so much, God, for the overcomers that are standing before you right now, God. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just pray a blessing over them right now so that they would leave this place, a different person, God. All of the things that was defeating them before they walked in them doors, God, let them walk out of here as bold as lions and go put those things under their feet, God. We have overcome Satan, and we have overcome the world through your blood and through the word of our testimony, God. So, Father, we believe right now, we know that we are overcomers through Christ Jesus. And, Father, we thank you for your blood. We thank you, God. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all be blessed. Turn that up.
Come on, can you hear the sound of freedom? We're free because the curse of sin has been broken. And Jesus Christ is